It's time for the Paul Harvey Show. Take it away, Mr. Harvey.
The rest of the story. Ever since his childhood in Troy Grove, Illinois, Jimmy Butler was ridiculed mostly because of how he looked. His nose was quite long and it was pointed, and his upper lip stuck way out like a duck's bill. In fact, that's what the other youngsters in Troy Grove called him, Duck Bill. Hey, Duck Bill, they'd say, why aren't you in the pond with the other ducks? Jimmy never answered. Not even when the bullies in school taunted him with that hated nickname and threatened him with violence. He never responded, because, you see, there was a daydream that kept his mind otherwise occupied, the thought of someday becoming a famous professional gambler, somebody dashing, perhaps even a little dangerous, but mainly somebody that others would envy. One day that ambition propelled Jimmy west of the Mississippi in search of his own personal fame and fortune, but what he found instead, well, that was the rest of the story. The American West Jim Butler discovered was scarcely as romantic as the one he'd dreamed of in Troy Grove, Illinois. Most surprising of all was the widespread corruption he encountered. But rather than return to a peaceful, pallid life back east, Jim stayed, and he conformed. He went on the city payroll in Abilene, Kansas. He was supposed to rid the town of gambling and prostitution. But within weeks, he was collecting protection money from gamblers and pimps. He was spending his afternoons at the card tables and his evenings in the red light district. Predictably, I suppose, Jim was fired after a few months on the job. And from there, the low road led straight downhill. He tried prospecting. He found only fool's gold. He even resurrected his boyhood fantasy of becoming a traveling gambler, but he lost more than he won. He did get a job as a freight company guard once. He was a freight company guard, and he did manage to shoot a rancher who got in an argument with his employer. But the rancher was unarmed, and Jim was hiding behind a calico curtain when he plugged him. So Jim was unemployed again. As a matter of fact, for that little encounter, Jim barely escaped a murder conviction. Toward the end of his life, he was often arrested, but only for vagrancy, no visible means of support, the complaints always read. And then one day, when he was not quite 40, he was playing poker, and somebody shot him dead. Now, the strange thing is that you've known Jim all your life. At least you've known the person into which he was transformed by an imaginative magazine writer more than 100 years ago. He was transformed into somebody else before you read about him. The writer's name was George Nicholas. Probably he would never have written a word about Jim, except for that unkind nickname which Jim had been called as a boy. Or, shall I say, the way Jim kind of turned it around. It was just such a good nickname, that George Nicholas could not resist building a hero around that name. Well, by now you know the lad from Troy Grove, Illinois, was anything but a hero. But that's the way he ended up in the pages of fiction, a real hero. For the ne'er-do-well drifter, James Butler Hickok, could not stand being called Duck Bill, so they changed the name to Wild Bill Hickok, and now you know the rest of the story.